Hello and welcome to The Unmissables, the weekly podcast that looks at the latest pop cultural happenings, but mainly television. I'm joined by two glorious colleagues. We all work together at a magazine called Heat. And Steph Seelan, you're here as usual.
Sounds excited about it.
I'm Steph Seelan and I'm here.
I just wanted to explain because we're not random. We're not three random people
just bumped into each other. Who you speak to.
And that other voice you hear is Kay Ribeiro.
Hello.
Not Ribeiro, no, as she often gets
not
called.
Not Ribena. Definitely no. None of those things. It's Ribeiro.
Ribeiro. R-I-B-E-I-R-O.
Yeah, and also I'm FYI. Not. I'm Steph Seelan, not Stephanie Seaman, as they used to call me at school, which is just mean.
Right, now we have to put the explicit content label on the podcast.
Because I've said Seaman really, really
and
early.
And you said, well, you
know,
and
said, stiff. That's not a bad word.
No, but what do you really... What
oh,
was the
Fanny.
First?
Yeah.
1 minute in and you mentioned Seaman twice, Steph. I mean, fair enough.
Appalachia.
That isn't part... an apology is needed. Maybe not an apologia, which was the play we saw on stage last week. Well, you
that's just a gag for regular listeners. Other people are just like, you lot are crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure I explain all these increasingly
put it in context,
contrived
always.
In jokes. Anyway, every week we look at usually four morsels of popular culture, mainly TV. In fact, we are reviewing this week The State, the new four-part Channel 4 drama about ISIS.
Get excited.
Yes, do get excited. I'm not saying it's going to be fun, but it is exciting. The Tick is the new Amazon Prime, what can I describe as a superhero kind of spoof comedy thing. We've got Len Goodman's Partners in Rhyme.
Oh, is this a fluff spot?
That is the fluff spot. Every week we try and do a show that can only be described as fluff. Mm. I've said it can only be described as twice already.
I don't know if I like this fluff slot because I feel like it's a bit too derogatory, by the way. But anyway, we can discuss this.
Well, and it's a fair point to make, Kate, because in fact the last thing we're doing could also really couldn't easily be described as fluff, which is the return of Street Mate. The iconic dating format is going to be back on Channel 4 starting Monday the 21st of August at the interesting time, I believe, of 5:30 p.m.
Ooh,
hosted... I also believe by Scarlett Moffat. In fact, I know because I've watched it.
But also, love is serious, so it isn't fluff. Serious finding a partner, Boyd. Take that back.
We'll discuss that later. I think you're obviously wrong. Now then, not love, not the love is fluff, just this show. But before all of that, we've got the weekly selection of stuff we've all happened to have been watching randomly, but invariably that's also stuff that we've watched on television. Kay, what have you been watching this week?
I've been watching Trust Me. Now, I know last week you guys said you were too scared to watch it.
No
you were
way,
too
man.
Tense.
Too frightened.
Too frightened.
Baby cat.
I took one for the pod team and I've carried on watching it. And I've got to tell you, it's really, really good still. But if you thought last week was tense, this week it's even worse because her web of lies is getting even bigger and bigger.
No.
Like you think she couldn't tell any more lies. She thought she's all done. Her nose was big enough. She is lying her pants off. Her pants are on fire and she's flying very close to the wind.
So how many have you watched, Kay? So we did. We reviewed the episode one last week, or Trust Me. Mm.
Jodie Whittaker. BBC One.
Tuesday night, BBC One. How many more have you watched?
I've watched one more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've watched one more. So just to recap, this is the nurse who's acting as a doctor, who's lying about being a doctor, has got no clue how to do any of it. Well, a little bit of it, but it's essentially very dangerous with a scalpel. And it's...
But you said you thought she was going to get found out, you thought I could watch episode two. So I'm getting the vibe from you, the tense vibe that she doesn't get found out.
I think you shouldn't watch it for a little bit.
I don't
I'll tell you when
it.
It's safe
spoiler,
to watch.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Obviously, but... We don't want to know whether she gets found or not.
But Kay said, I think she'll get found out soon, so you can carry on watching it.
Oh, right.
But I'm getting the feeling from Kay that I shouldn't watch it. I mean, I don't want to watch it anyway because it's scary.
I'm going to continue watching it for the team and I'll tell you when it's safe to
do so. You're that squeamish that you can't cope with further Trust Me. Is that what you're telling me?
If this podcast has shown you anything, it's that I don't like tension. I'm not prone to a
rant.
I don't know if anyone listened to last week's podcast.
By the way, I'd like to make an apology to you. I've got a few apologies to make.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope I'm in line.
One is,
are they apologies or are they Apologies.
They're apologies.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, because as we know, an apologia is a completely different thing. It's like some kind of testimony.
Yeah. Can't believe we're still going on.
That Stockard Channing does on stage in that play of the same name. I need to apologise for you because I actually listened back a little bit to last week's blog, which I don't do very often because I don't like to listen to myself, if at all possible. But you said something.
True.
When we reviewed Quacks, the BBC Two, the excellent BBC Two comedy that we all liked about doctors in the 19th century, you explained the thing about it, that people go to the theatre to watch the operation.
Yeah, and then you explained it again. I know. Yeah. I know you did that. I didn't want to bring it up.
It's almost like you're not listening to her or me. It's weird.
It's bad. I feel that's a real like man thing to do, to not listen to what you just said.
I know, you literally didn't
listen. But I think
because
sometimes as host, my only excuse is that I was like preparing something to say for the next bit. But yeah, I completely
repeated. But you make the same point.
Yeah, straight, I know. And you let me get away with it. You didn't go,
do you know why,
I don't want to bring it up, but in episode 4 that might have happened to me.
Well, can you just, next time I repeat something you've literally just said, can you please do me a favour and say to me, I just said that, you...
Your words are sacred.
So that's my apology to you, apology.
Thank you. Hey, and do you know who else you need to apologise to?
Is the next one. Chris Hewitt.
Yeah.
So Chris Hewitt of our kind of sister podcast, Empire.
It's the Big
Empire
Brother.
The Big Brother, yeah.
We're the little sister. Yeah, come on.
The Big Brother Empire, the excellent Empire film podcast that I listen to religiously every week. I said last week when we reviewed Celebrity MasterChef that he was a huge fan of Celebrity MasterChef. Of course, I knew deep down this was not the case. Chris, the legend of Empire magazine, is in fact a huge MasterChef fan.
Yeah.
He's a purist.
He actually, because you had this conversation with him,
I caught up with Chris Hewitt in the lift on the way to Morrison's, okay? Right. He was on the way to buy a £3 meal deal salad, okay?
Yeah.
No, it's true. That's what he was doing. We're having a bit of a conversation about that. And I said, hey, I've got a bone to pick with you. I said, I know you're listening to the Unmissables podcast. And he said, of course he is. And I said, did you listen to the latest one? He said, no. And then I said, I hear that you're a fan of Celebrity MasterChef. And he said, absolutely not. He said, he's a purist and anything else is a bastardization of the format. Exact words from Christopher Hewitt of Empire fame.
And as I said, deep down, I kind of knew that because I think he tweeted that kind of thing before. Yeah, there are a lot of MasterChef fans who like professional MasterChef, whatever it's called, and MasterChef itself, which is the amateurs. But the celebrity version they find. They find it, it's distilled.
Shit.
A bastardization.
It's about bastardization, thank you.
Yeah.
Diluted. They feel it's diluted, the MasterChef.
The opposite.
Got there eventually, the MasterChef brand. And I know what he means, but I'm a fan of all the MasterChef formats, so I still like the celebrity version. Also, when you talk about Trust Me, by the way, saying that how tense it gets, of course, we did get tweeted by Dan Sefton, the writer of Trust Me.
Oh,
you? Yes, I didn't notice.
An actual person.
We're always getting tweeted. What are you talking about?
He said, because we talked about how tense it was last week, and he said, the ending might surprise you, but it def gets more tense.
And I can confirm that.
Well,
he's right.
Is he the writer?
I'm
staying well away from it.
He also wrote Delicious and Good Karma Hospital, as we mentioned before. Yes, you got your hand up, Kay.
I want to tell you the second thing that I
wanted. Oh, another thing you watched.
No, it's all right.
What else have you been watching, Kay?
Well, I wanted to disprove your point that all we do is watch TV because I read a book.
Oh, yes,
I did.
Sweet now, baby
Jesus.
Moses.
So, Jesse Burton's The Miniaturist came out a while ago. I know I'm late to the party, but it's been on my book pile for a long time. And when I heard it's going to be made into a BBC drama at Christmas time, I was like, hell, I need to read this before that because, you know.
Well, you've achieved that.
And I've done it, and it's bloody brilliant. If you haven't read it, listeners, and, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that haven't. You must do it because it's beautifully written. It's completely enchanting. It's about this girl who marries a Dutch merchant and their marriage and all the trials and tribulations to do with that. And honestly, it's so, so good.
Which one of them is the miniaturist with the title?
None of the husband or wife.
But is there a miniaturist?
Yes, of course.
The husband
buys her a little miniature house, their house, and she gets figurines sent to her, and the stuff that she gets sent ends up happening to her. It's prophetic. Yeah,
I see.
It's very, very good. It's made me want to go to Amsterdam, so I might not be here next week. Jesse Burton.
Okay. How big is your book pile, by the way?
Yeah, I know I was going to ask that.
Oh, God, it's really big.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really big.
And is it a literal pile or is it in your mind? Is there literally a pile of
both
books?
Both literal and I carry a digital version in my head.
Is it like 16 hardbacks deep?
I go for paperbacks.
Oh, interesting.
Never digital, though. I never read off a Kindle.
Don't you? Oh,
no.
She doesn't binge. She doesn't do digital books. Yeah. She's such a geek.
I'm a dinosaur.
Dweeb.
No. She's such a dweeb.
Steph, what have you been watching? Far less dweeby. What have you been...
I went to the cinema and I watched Dunkirk. And I loved
it. Chris,
the IMAX. And I went to the IMAX in Milton Keynes, the home of... the greatest cinema of all time. The home. No, it's built on the New York block system, Milton Keynes. I think it's now, is it 50 years old? Anyway, that's irrelevant. Milton Keynes is irrelevant. The cinema is what's important.
We can review Milton Keynes at a later date.
We'll go on tour, the pod on tour.
Yeah.
Great shopping centre. Anyway, the cinema's great. And Dunkirk was fantastic. Everything you said was absolutely right, Boyd, as it always is sometimes.
We're going to listen to you more.
But I'm just going to say, testament to Harry Styles, went with a husband. And you know what he said to me afterwards? He said, which one was Harry Styles? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, did he have his eyes shut?
But like that.
Was he actually asleep?
Yeah, maybe. No, but the fact is that that's how good he is in it. And I thought he's in it more than anyone else.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed that you agree with everything I said and that you enjoyed it. And
brilliant.
But I'm intrigued that Liambi George, your husband, as I call him, doesn't recognise Harry Styles, that he's that enclosed off from popular culture that he just does not.
He doesn't get involved with that kind of stuff. He hasn't got time for that. He's only got time for football, Tottenham. That's what he's got time for.
He does DM me on the Instagram about trainers quite a lot. Yeah.
Anyway, enough about reviewing my husband. More about other things. Also, Kay.
Yeah.
I watched. Have you watched the final? I swear to God, I'll punch you in the face.
All right.
I did not watch that terrible show. Oh, do you know what? I made a promise to myself not to be so aggressive.
Oh, we should also say cheap. Yeah, Alex Lowe got in contact.
Don't bring
Who plays Barry for Watford. He's
a very funny guy on the show.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
I said he was funny. He was the best thing about it.
Anyway,
right. So Kay said she was deep in the dark.
Yeah.
Do you remember last week?
Oh, yeah, in the dark.
I finished it. Did you finish it?
No.
Okay. I finished it. All right,
I've been reading a book.
And is it good, the ending?
I was pleased with the ending. I was very pleased, and I did not see it coming, but...
That's the gangland. The second story is the gangland story.
Yeah. It's good.
I think I've read that novel. I can't remember what the ending, yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the...
It was very good. And I know I keep saying, oh, it's not as good as Fearless, but actually you know how sometimes like the ending of things makes the whole thing seem good? There must be some phenomenon. I don't know what it's called. Yeah. Anyway... That's what's happened here. So now I like it just as much.
Ending made it so much better than you originally thought it was going to be.
That is exactly what I'm trying to say. The ending factor.
Well, that's all very good. Kay, have you seen Dunkirk yet?
No, I've yet to go. I will go.
Sort it out.
But what have you been watching?
Oh, thanks for asking. Do you know what I've been watching? I'm going to tell you. I stumbled across on the Netflix. I've got a whole thing to say about Netflix, actually, which is that...
Oh.
I feel this thing that I watched on Netflix they should have alerted me to it much earlier, or at least at some point, because I stumbled upon it. It's called Icarus.
Oh, I watched that too. Sorry, I got really excited.
You haven't mentioned it on here, though, before I started blundering in.
No, but I wanted to watch it.
No, I'm just checking you haven't, and I didn't completely ignore you when you did mention it.
Yeah, I mentioned it. I say what happened.
He hasn't done a Boyd as well.
Yeah. So listen, I'm going to tell you now the reality of mine and Kay's life. I walked over to Boyd's desk, Boyd's sitting next to Kay, and I said, oh my God, do you know what I watched on Netflix last night? Icarus. It was amazing. It's about drugs cheats.
But not on the podcast, though.
That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah, but I know, but I just wanted to make sure that you hadn't talked about it on the podcast, ignored what you'd said on the podcast.
What had happened is you just ignored him in real life.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now you're going to discuss it.
But we've already established he ignores me on the podcast as well because of the repeat of the theatre thing on Quacks. Yeah. Boyd, start listening to me.
Yeah, I will. Anyway, Icarus is this documentary directed by Brian Fogel. I think he's like a kind of comedy writer in America, like he works in television or something in America. And the whole idea of it, Kay, is because you haven't seen it.
Oh, no, but her husband texted me at the weekend to tell me about it. But I'm listening.
Oh, really?
Go for it.
This is becoming a podcast about Liambi George.
It is. It's all about this guy who decided to investigate the world of doping, particularly in psychic, but in sport and generally, by doing it himself. So by seeing, because he does this amateur version of the Tour de France thing. And so he thought, well, I'm going to do this thing every year. One year, I'm going to try and get experts to help me take as much drugs as possible, that Lance, what's his name, did.
Armstrong,
thank you. And see what happens. But the incredible thing about the documentary is it turns into the expert he gets to help him is this Russian guy who works in the Russian,
WADA.
Version of WADA, World Anti-Doping Agency. He turns out to be at the centre of the huge, massive Russian conspiracy. They ended up with the whole Russia being expelled from athletics and the Olympics and everything. And he doesn't realise this is going to happen. And it all kind of unfolds before your very eyes. He also ends up helping this guy get extradited to America and it's an unbelievable.
I really want to see this.
It is an unbelievable story.
I've been obsessed with the World Championship and then Liam texted me about this. I desperate to see it.
Yeah, the only problem. I warn you. The only slight you have to. put up with is this guy, Dan Fogel, injecting stuff up his bum.
Oh, it's that's horrible.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
No, it's a bit much.
It's a bit much, isn't it? Yeah, we don't need to see that. Like, eight shots of him.
Don't you think that Russian guy is like, he's really, he's such a great character. You sort of
incredible
think,
character.
Oh, I wish you weren't a massive baddie. Drugs cheat aid. Because you're so fun. And he like, and when he FaceTimes without his top on and he's got a fun
weirdly,
dog.
Always got it's his top off.
Fun.
Always got his top off. Yeah. You know, like Friday Night Dinner, the dad in Friday Night Dinner.
Exactly
I have a question for you. So I'm glad you've seen it and I'm glad you reminded me of that, because my big question about this documentary is, in the telling of it, the guy who's directed it and in it, Brian Fogel, he's weirdly shocked and surprised that this Russian maverick ends up at the set. But it's like, well, what did he expect? Because all the way through the film, he's explaining to him that he knows exactly how to cheat and drugs. And Brian's, it's like suddenly he's surprised that he's been, that's exactly what he's been doing.
Brian's hopped up on drugs, though. He's probably got into the hard stuff. It's just addled his brain.
I think his brain was a bit addled.
Yeah, it was a little bit, I have to say.
Anyway, by the end of it, there's just no doubt whatsoever that this huge conspiracy went right up to Vladimir Putin. And
of course.
Basically was involved. Yeah. Well, you know, just to see it there, very cleverly, I thought, kind of explained in the last third of the film, I thought was really...
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
How have they made this documentary without getting, taken out?
Well.
Ooh. Would you like to answer that? Person's seen this program.
I'd like you to answer, Boyd.
Well, they have to be careful, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of references the way through from the Russian guy to say, you know, we've got to be careful and, you know, we can't just blunder in and, you know, you've got to stop filming here. They're just very careful about how they film it and how they... And a lot of it's done on Skype, on laptops.
Yeah,
half
the
film
is
really them Skyping each other, isn't it?
No, but the point is, it's out there now, so people can see it. So are these people safe? Except for the Russian guy, who's probably...
I don't think any Russians are safe, just in general.
No, that's true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
No, I meant the guy, the doping
Russian
guy.
The American guy?
Yeah, the American guy.
Oh,
So he wasn't exposing anything?
From the beginning, you know that this Russian guy's involved. Basically, there has previously been a documentary made about this Russian guy, about him cheating and how he had helped the Russians, because a load of Russian athletes came out as whistleblowers and said, this is a guy helping us. So all the way along, you know he's a baddie, and you're sort of like, why has he got this baddie to help? But he is the best. You know, if you want to be a drugs cheat, go to the best.
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing I was mentioning about Netflix is, it's weird how Netflix has so much content now every week. I mean, in the week we're doing at the moment, writing about In Heat, there's about four new things on Netflix. There's almost left, they don't even have the time or capability
to promote it,
to kind of draw attention to it. So people do find.
But that's
this
annoying
stuff.
Because, like, I would have liked to watch this. Well, I mean, I know I still can, but
hold on.
I'm not having a go.
Hold on. Because actually, when you go on your Netflix, it says things you may
of
like.
Of course, yeah.
So,
but that's the thing.
Personal promotion.
But I'm talking about writing
media.
About it, you know, in magazines and newspapers. And you just, at the moment, they just don't need it, is the bottom line. They've already got 105 million subscribers around the world.
Maybe
they're
there's
fine.
A missed email.
Do you know
in
what, Boyd? I will come to you every week and say, what's on my things you might like? And then you can forget about it and discover them for yourself and then pass them off as your own.
Steph, I'm going to take pay extra attention to the things that you and your husband, Liambi George, watch on a regular basis. About doping in sport.
Thank you.
If nothing else.
Thank you
Time for some meat, right?
Yes, Kay. Let's move on to the meat of the show, the four chunks of pop culture, actually TV, that we're going to review, analyse and debate. Starting with, I think, what is definitely the TV event of next week. So this starts on Channel 4 on the 20th of August, Sunday at 9 o'clock, and it's running consecutive nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday,
well
done. Wednesday, four. It's written and directed by BAFTA award-winning Peter Kosminski, who did the BBC Two show Wolf Hall. Did you watch that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wasn't that very dark?
Very dark, famously
very,
dark.
Very, very dark.
He likes a bit of natural light, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, he's one of those.
Yeah, although to be fair to him, in the period of Wolf Hall, there wasn't much electric light, was there? So, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
But,
okay, well, that is a good point.
Yeah. But this, in massive contrast, he did a film called, a one-off called Brits a few years ago on Channel 4, which was about how young Muslims can get radicalised. And so this incredibly ambitious four-parter is about what happens after that and is about four British people going to Syria and joining ISIS, basically, isn't it? That's
exactly
what it
is.
That's exactly what it is. But for me, it's an incredibly ambitious thick project because he's not only is he showing he's done a lot of research. So in interviews with him and in the launch that he by the way, he had a launch of this last week.
Did you go?
I couldn't make it. Oh. No, I was supposed to go. But he very much insisted. So this is a 4-hour show, including ads. It's about 3.5 without the ads.
Okay.
But he insisted that the whole thing, all 4 episodes, were shown at this launch. And they did the Q&A bit in the middle after the first 2 episodes. Then they did so it literally went on.
I don't think
that's
ever been done before, has it?
Midnight or something. I mean, must be one of the longest
screenings
ever.
Didn't that happen at OJ when you did OJ Made in America?
Yes, good point. They did screen about 5-6 hours of the OJ documentary. Yeah, but he definitely. But no one insisted that. You know, I think they wanted to do that so that everyone got that experience. But he very much is an insister, and he insisted that.
I opted out.
Well, this is what I was going to say. So I've watched the whole thing.
Have you?
I've watched every single minute of The State. And as I was saying, it kind of, not only does it depict, based on a lot of testimony and a lot of factual interviews they did and research with people on all different sides, of what the experience was like for someone, a British person, to go to ISIS with the intention of helping ISIS and joining in the jihad, essentially in Syria, in 2015... It also kind of tries to explore why they do it, what's in their mind, what's going on in their mind, what happens to them, what it's actually like there with ISIS, hanging out with them, and what happens. And then what happens when you come back or if you try and extract yourself from the process. So it's unbelievable. I can't imagine. There are a few things I can imagine more ambitious than this. Really, can you? I mean, it's just an extraordinary undertaking to me. So now the big question is, what does it actually feel like as a thing to watch? So I've watched the whole thing. You two have watched, the first episode?
I think we both were. We were texting last night because my actual text to Kay was, Kay, do I have to watch 4 hours of this?
I was like, don't worry, just watch one.
Yeah. God, it's heavy going.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Inevitably.
Inevitably heavy going because it's a very serious subject. The question that kept going through my mind as I was watching these 4 people and trying to understand the motivation for going, which is actually very kind of well done, you know, and they are asked about why are they there by the people that are in the drama. Was, if you did change your mind, could you just go, this is not for me? I'm just going to hop back on a plane and go.
Well, that's a very good question because that is answered in later
episodes.
But also,
in the first episode, there's a very pronounced moment where they physically have to throw their passports on a fire. And I was like, really? No going back now?
No, I'm physically about it. Yeah.
One of them throws their passport on the fire in a kind of ritual as part of the ritual
tearing
of
up the leaves
expelling
of it
your old life. But actually, most of the characters, this is a key point plot-wise, have their passports taken away and looked after by the ISIS, central command or whatever. Because that does come back in later episodes, FYI.
I thought the guy who played kind of Sam Otto, is it? Who plays
Sam
Jalal?
Otto. He's kind of the main character. There is a main character.
So his motivation for going is his brother was killed fighting for ISIS, and he kind of wants to go, and he's very proud of his brother, and he's kind of a bit of a local hero
to these people, a martyred hero. Yeah.
And so his motivation is clear. I mean, he's a brilliant actor. I thought he was brilliant in this first part, and he's so handsome. Anyway, that's
you thought the first thing you said to me this morning when we arrived together at the same time in the office was how hot Sam Otto Jalal in the state is. That's fine. It's a fictional character.
Hot.
He's a good actor.
It's allowed. But the woman that goes, who's the single mother,
Shakira,
and she
played
wants
by
to...
Oni Uhiara. Apologies if I've pronounced that wrong.
But she wants to go because she says, you know, I'm a doctor. I actually want to help. And what I found really interesting, which obviously I'm not going to have known before, is that all these people go with specific ideas of what they want to do to help their cause, and actually they're confronted with no, this is what you do, this is the way that we do it, and confronted with a set of rules that they didn't realize was going to be put in place.
I think that was the interesting point, wasn't it, when they said, you know, don't believe what you see on the internet, because they've all been kind of, it's a kind of glamorization on the internet of this wouldn't be like all the men think they're going to go there and start fighting, you know, guns and everything, and then the main character at first is told, you know, you might not have a gun, you might not be fighting, you might be spreading the word of Allah, and he was like, what?
Yeah, I think it's hard with things like this. This is really well done, but because you see so much of it, because it's happening and it's on the news, I found it hard to think that I was going to want to watch 4 hours of something like this.
That's key, really. So it wasn't the story itself and what was happening to these characters wasn't compelling enough, or you just thought you didn't care enough? What was
If I'm honest, I'd probably rather watch a documentary which was based on somebody who
and
had
have been,
joined
ISIS.
I mean,
there have been a lot of documentaries.
And, yeah, and they have. Because for me, in my Sunday night slot, I love Homeland. I'm
you have
huge
a Sunday
Homeland.
Night slot?
Yeah, have a Sunday night slot.
Yeah.
I love Homeland, and I love that kind of thing. And it's sort of, it's kind of midway between documentary and drama, this, I think, because it's so factual. And what I really did like is, so they have kind of sort of bits that are subtitled where you learn the terminology
terms,
and stuff,
key
terms, which I really liked. I found that incredibly interesting. It is really, really interesting. But I probably would prefer this subject to be delivered to me in a documentary, if I'm completely honest.
Because, it's interesting, because Homeland is much more, deals with some of these kind of things, obviously.
Yes. It,
but in a much more kind of melodramatic.
Exactly.
Slightly over the top, some would say. This. So the tone of this, which I thought was, I think the genius of this programme, I've said it.
You're going to stick to it.
That it's told in a very, it's not, it doesn't feel like a documentary. It's definitely like a classic drama. You know that these are fictional characters. You know they're actors playing them. But
they could
tone,
be real, because you feel like it's been so brilliantly researched that actually it feels like you are watching a documentary.
Right. So also, but the tone of it is so almost calm, a matter of fact.
Agreed.
That you it feels absolutely real every step of the way. And I actually feel that it's better than a documentary. This is the main point I was going to make.
Hold on a minute.
No. I've watched a lot of, believe me.
How can you get better than a documentary?
This is
you can't.
I'm going to explain. I feel this is what Peter Kosminski, the writer director, was trying to do. And this is the reason why I think he's done this. It's because I've watched a lot of documentaries about ISIS. I'm kind of mildly obsessed and fascinated by it. And particularly about how, what?
Who knew? These are words I never thought would come from your mouth.
It's one of the biggest phenomena of our time. Islamic fundamentalism and why people get radicalized. I find it absolutely
fascinating.
Then seemingly these are all the main characters, which I thought was brilliant. So I think this is what he was, the genius of the show. He takes four main characters. They're all likable, intelligent, eloquent, in quotes, normal people, British people, the kind of people you might run into every day of your life, particularly the doctor. With her son, with a 9-year-old son. And you think, hold on a minute, don't you realise what the fuck ISIS is? And you're taking your son out there, you intelligent person, to completely demented Islamic fundamentalists. Why are you doing this? What are you thinking? So, but it completely explores that in an incredibly believable. And it's the first time, honestly, I've really understood what is going through their minds. And more than that, the daily routine. Of life. That's what you don't get in a documentary.
Yeah, that's true.
Because documentaries, by their very nature, particularly ones, they're trying to film a documentary, right? It's hard, you know, you can't just... you get kind of key moments and, you know, insights and little slivers, if you like, of life. But this, over the 4 hours, which I think is probably why he insisted that everyone watch the 4 hours in that preview screening, you just get an incredible sense of what daily life is like.
The domestic setting, the tranquility of it. You would never expect that, would
and
you?
There's a great character, and play this woman, this white woman. There's a lot of white people in it, converts, who are often more zealous than the
which
people,
they joke about.
Which they talk about, that Muslims born into Islam. And there's a white woman who kind of is the organiser of the women.
The American woman.
Yeah, the American woman. She's unbelievably pleasant, and she has this kind of almost chilling likability to her. At the same time, she's telling them, you have to marry, find a husband, otherwise we'll kill you.
She's like a cheerful matron.
Yeah, she's like a cheerful psychopath.
Yeah.
And I just thought the whole thing dealt with all of these issues so brilliantly. And it's hard because, you know, you don't want to depict these people as being insane psychopaths. She's not depicted as psychopaths, so that was a wrong use of the word. None of them are. You don't want to depict these people as cartoons and stereotypes.
I think it totally challenges the impressions that you have. It certainly did for me.
Yeah.
Like, all the things that I'd thought, I was like, actually, you know, through the different stories, I was like, I completely could understand why someone would do that and, you know, decide to go there to follow their religion for jihad. Yeah. And like, as you say, the fact that it was a doctor with a son, so a mother who's obviously very protective, and she would still do that, I was like, well, obviously there's something really...
And do you think that we've got... Because I suppose the thing is, the impression that you get of somebody who's been radicalised is a very kind of generalised impression of someone who wants to go out and kill. Do you think and maybe this is just a complete moot point, that it is important for us to understand the motivation.
Oh,
by
I
people.
Think it is. So, I think it is.
Right.
It's the most important thing, because without that, how do you possibly, like? And I think that's, the for me, the big problem, we're getting deep here, but the big problem with the way the world
the way we try and deal
treats,
with the problem
yes.
is that we don't try and understand
completely.
It before. Yeah,
because it's so horrific. Obviously, it's massively horrific. But what they actually do.
John's looking at us like we've gone too deep.
I know. I know, maybe we have. But this is the incredible thing about this series, that it's dealing with these huge questions and in an extremely convincing way. So I think that, and I'll tell you what's interesting is, you have to watch the end, but what happens, oh no, I can't spoil it. But
don't say anything.
How these people are dealt with is part of the story. And interestingly, the writer-director explained that he couldn't get many testimony from British people who'd been through this experience because they're all in prison. And they immediately, anyone who is caught returning from this, from being with ISIS, having anything to do with them, no matter what the experience was, actually killing people.
But they changed their mind.
Right. It's 8 years in prison on average for whatever you've done. Now, I'm not saying, now that's just a thing that happens. Whereas in Europe, in other parts of Europe, that isn't the case. And he was saying how in other parts of Europe, and that he got a lot of testimony from other European people who'd gone there, who were the authorities, try and find out exactly what they did and why, and try to kind of somehow get them back into society and not just shun them and put them in prison and therefore they're criminals for life. So it's just lots, there's so many facets to this stuff. I think this is going to sweep up all the BAFTAs.
I think it's going to get BAFTA nominations.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the big TV events of
me
our
too.
Time.
No, it
has
good.
To see, has to be seen. 5 stars from me.
I'm giving it 4 stars. I didn't want to watch it. I poo-pooed it to Boyd. I was like, life's depressing
it was
enough.
A poo-poo.
It was. I was like, no. And I'm so happy I watched it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have chosen to watch it, I have to say, but I did think it was good. 4 stars from me.
Now that I've gone on about it, to say, are you going to watch the rest of the 3 parts?
No, Boyd, I'm not. Yes, I am.
I
am. Of course
I am.
Of course I am, because now I want to know what happens, because I think the reason you've got
watch.
I think the reason you've got such high opinion of it is because you've watched it all.
Oh, completely.
Also, no, but I think from the first episode.
I liked the first episode, but
I think it really does kick in, I would say, in 2 and 3. And then I'll tell you, the one thing is the kid is so brilliant. The boy.
Oh, yeah, Isaac.
Who, and what happens to him is absolutely fascinating as well.
Right, we are stopping now,
no
John.
Spoilers.
We are
stopping. We're going to move on to The Tick.
Of course, we are.
Let's move on to this then.
This is the new Amazon Prime superhero comedy fantasy thing. Steph, what the hell is The Tick?
The Tick is a gigantic blue superhero.
Correct, Tick.
Yes. Okay, so the wonderful Peter Serafinowicz.
Yes.
Plays the Tick, who you at first believe is just a fictional character in the mind of Griffin Newman.
Who plays Arthur.
Yeah.
And so Griffin Newman has been in, it says here, Search Party and Beware the Gonzo.
Yeah. I don't know what Beware the Gonzo
I haven't
is
watched either,
no.
of those.
I think we need to cross-check
anyway,
that.
Yeah.
So Griffin Newman plays Arthur, and he's a troubled child. And what he has seen in his young life is his father killed by 3 of his favourite superheroes when this sounds insane, and it is, when their spaceship lands on his head as he's going to fill the meter for the car park. Then it cuts to his life now, and everyone thinks he's completely crazy. He has a lovely sister called Dottie who's like saying, "Are you taking your meds?" Because they all think he's mad because he hears lots of voices, and he is obsessed with finding the person that is responsible for killing his father, who is called the terror. Who's the terror player?
Jackie Earle Haley. Who was in the Watchmen film and often plays horrible, nasty villains.
Right, okay.
Professional nasty man.
So, so he's obsessed with finding him, but he's got this, he's from when he was a young boy, he had these voices that then turn out to be this blue light that then turns out to be the Tick. He thinks he's the only one that can see the Tick, but it is revealed that actually the Tick is available to see for everyone. It's completely insane. I don't know what else to say about it, Boyd. It's just mad, isn't it? But I was very surprised to know that this isn't the first iteration of the Tick.
It's the third iteration. Well, so it's based on a comic book, and it was created by a guy called Ben Edlund, who was 18 when he first wrote it back in the day.
How
about that?
I think you can
and
tell.
he's still very much totally hands on with all kind of adaptations of it. So they did a animated series, which I think did quite well years ago. Then in the early 2000s, they did a live action thing, which didn't do so well. It only lasted one season, I think. And now this is the big, much bigger budget, much more ambitious. It looks fantastic, isn't it? I mean,
third time lucky, I'm not so sure.
Oh, sorry, okay, Kay, I'm getting
Kay's
the distinct sense that Kay
But hold on a minute, we know that she doesn't like superhero things.
We do.
Correct.
Not really fantasy, do
but
you?
But I'm very fair as a person, as you know, so I gave this a fair chance.
Go on.
I didn't find it funny. It's like Girl Boss. I knew I was meant to find it funny. So every juncture, I was like, right, is that funny?
Question.
Just not funny.
Have you watched Deadpool?
Yes, I love Deadpool.
Okay. No.
I love Deadpool. Deadpool's funny. I think Ryan Reynolds is funny. This is just...
I think my problem with this is Deadpool is the standard to beat in terms of funny, ludicrous superheroes that are a bit sarky.
Yeah.
And boy, I don't know what you think, but I don't know whether...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Deadpool is an absolutely fantastic kind of attempt to do a pretty much a comedy superhero film, wasn't it? Yeah, very much play for laughs. And this is slightly less play for laughs than that, in a way.
Yeah, but I feel like it should play more for it.
So are you saying, are you using the old, it's tonally confusing?
I think it is tonally confusing. I think it should be. It looks ridiculous. Just be ridiculous.
Be funny.
Is this the best use of Peter Serafinowicz's time, is what I'm wondering.
His time? He's a busy man. He is a busy man. I know what you mean, because I love Peter Serafinowicz. Yeah. He is brilliant. He still has time. You know, he does these things online, these YouTube videos of Donald Trump. Have you ever seen any of these?
No.
Yeah, he does these brilliant Donald Trump videos where he does an incredibly camp, like Liberace-style voice.
Oh.
And they match perfectly what Donald Trump says in his speeches, and they're hilarious because it's like Donald Trump has this camp voice.
Oh my God.
See, that sounds funny.
They are brilliant. And he is an incredible mimic, Peter Serafinowicz. His Michael Caine is he had a brilliant sketch show years ago. So I hear what you're saying about best use of time. I think he's brilliant in this. And I feel he's like almost channeling Adam West, the late Adam West, who died recently, the original Batman on TV.
Who was brilliant.
Brilliant. Kind of brilliantly pompous kind of doofus. That's the character of the Tick. He's a bit of a goofball idiot.
The Tick is the best character in it.
The Tick is great.
He sounds like he's constantly in an infomercial.
Now, here's my complaint. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it much more than you two, I get the feeling.
No, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
But I just think there is a standard been set by Deadpool of comedy things, and it didn't reach that.
I think if you forget Deadpool for a
minute. Okay, I will.
Okay. It is enjoyable. I know what you mean. It's not as funny at all. Mm. But I almost think they've decided to go for a tone which it's an enjoyable superhero story if you're just into superheroes. So I think they wanted to get that market, if you like, that, you know, big, that huge big crowd of, let's face it, geeks and nerds like me who do love superhero films.
Yeah.
They didn't want to put off those people by making it too kind of comedy, too broad comedically, maybe. That's my feeling. I have no proof of this. So actually, the character of Arthur is foregrounded much more than the Tick.
Mm.
And it's kind of all seen through his point of view. And he's an everyman. He's not a particularly funny guy. He's a kind of neurotic figure But the Tick itself, whose scenes are all really funny and does really funny things, isn't in it as much. And I think that was a flaw. And maybe so I've seen the pilot in episode one. So six episodes drop on Amazon next Friday. I've only seen those two. And I feel maybe the Tick will be in it more as time goes on. I hope so. Carry on. Kay.
I think my main point is I don't care about Arthur.
Oh, really?
I didn't really care about him.
Is that because of the character he is, or the actor, or
no?
Or
the character
thing?
He is.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't feel like enough was invested in that story. I don't know.
Even
just
when this kid, the trauma of watching his dad.
Yeah, I mean, if that was all, like, but just this version of him now, the older version, he's just still.
I thought the scene where where he suddenly thinks that the Tick is a figment of his imagination, which is clearly like based on a lot of film and TV moments where suddenly realise this person doesn't exist in real life and they've got some kind of schizophrenia or something, like Fight Club. Spoiler alert. Yeah. It's definitely like inspired by those moments, and then it turns out he hasn't got this issue, which brilliant. I thought that was great.
I did like that scene,
and I'm not sure if there's another scene in the first two episodes that was good as that moment.
Well, I actually like the little moment where because I watched the pilot and the first episode where he acknowledges that obviously they've done the pilot where Peter Serafinowicz has got a really shit outfit, and then obviously because it got commissioned, then he's got a very slick,
slick costume,
and he goes, "You look different."
Yeah, that was
great. I like things like that. So there were moments of great
Big
comedy
knowing.
In it. But I think to go with Kay's comment about him not being likeable, Arthur, I think the thing about Arthur is he's a little bit like one of the guys out of the Big Bang Theory. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's a bit like that.
But not as funny.
yeah.
That's the problem.
And they're not playing him for laughs, I don't think. So he's the straight man.
Yeah.
The Tick is the goofball funny guy. Yeah. But you're absolutely right about that moment. That was very Deadpoolish, wasn't it?
That is the moment that stayed with me. I was like, oh, that's actually hilarious.
I enjoyed it. I think it's an enjoyable show, and I would give it 4 stars. But I'm easily pleased. Okay?
I'm going to give it 3 stars.
Steph?
I'm going to give it 3.
Fair enough.
And I love superhero films. And I love Peter Serafinowicz.
I'm glad you've made those two things clear.
Those two things are very important to me.
Let us move on to the fluff slot. We've gone full fluff for the last two items. You're not annoyed that I'm calling them fluff?
No, not in this case, but going forward it might be.
Apologies, but to me, when you have a Saturday evening game show presented by Leg Goodman revolving around rhyming...
I said not in this case. Okay. I'm just saying let's not be snooty McGooty going forward.
I'm not snooty. Would you like to explain the format of this, which is, by the way, invented by... Noel Edmonds.
That was like an idea of hell where Len Goodman and Noel Edmonds have a child.
No, Noel Edmonds has nothing to do with it. Len Goodman presents it. But this show, the idea of it, the concept was dreamt up by my real life friend, Matt Edmondson.
Oh, I was wondering if it was like Obama Llama.
So he invents Matt, who is obviously on Radio 1. And is
good friend.
Did Extra Factor. And you've seen him on TV. Ooh. What? I'm just trying to remember what most... I think of him as, you know,
you
kind
think
of my
your
friend.
Old friend.
Normal
Matt.
Guy.
Your old muck, yeah.
Lovely guy. He's sort of the earth. But he does invent, he does come up with these brilliant concepts for games,
it's
board
very
games.
Clever.
And he's invented like two or three of them now. And he invented this concept for a Saturday night TV show. And here it is, in full.
Can I just ask you a bit of a trivia question? Is there much money in board games?
I bet there probably is, yeah.
I bet the man in Monopoly's rolling in it.
Board game agent, yeah. I mean, I've no idea.
Board game agent. I want a board game agent.
Yeah.
I do want one.
Yeah, well, maybe Matt could get you a board game agent, Kay, to deal with all your board game thinkings.
I do.
Have you got a board game up your sleeve? No, everyone's got a book in them. Has everyone got a board game in them?
Oh, I've got loads of games up my sleeve.
I digress. Kay, what's it about?
What is Len Goodman's Partners in Crime? What is it all about? What is this concept that Matt Edmonds has come up with?
Okay, basically, Len Goodman hosts as a group of celebrities, in this case, Anton Dubek, Leila Morse, who played Big Mo in EastEnders, DJ Dossie, who I didn't know was a thing, but she's a Radio 1 DJ, Radio 1 Extra. Apologies, my lord. And who's the fourth person?
Matt Richardson.
Oh, yes.
Not to be confused with. Yeah.
This is confusing.
Right, this is why I got confused. I was watching at my desk. I said, wait a minute, is this Matt Edmondson? Because I knew he did Obama Llama. So I was like, oh, my God. And then he was like, no, it's the other Matt. So anyway.
So just to explain, so as I've just said, Edmondson invented it, but Matt Richardson, the very similarly named comedian, is in the first episode. Carry on.
And anyway, there's on the other side, there's two contestants, normal folk, who are playing this game, and it's all about rhyming, so there's different rounds. One of them is in mime the rhyme, so they have to mime out a rhyme while the normal folk guess what the rhyme is. Pogs. The pogs guess what it is. They also do rhyme watch. You can see all the puns here, where they watch a video and they have to count the number of rhymes they can see. I think there's six, actually. They have to identify them. And weirdly, and this is the most surreal part, Mr. Motivator's in it. And then the third...
that was the weird bit.
The third section is News at Len. Get it? News at Len. where you have to guess the headlines in rhymes. And whoever wins either gets a trip to Portugal... Or, and I really love this, they get a pen from Len, which is like the blankety blank checkbook and pen, essentially.
You've brilliantly described it, the format, but what's it actually like to watch?
Well, can I just say, right, I quite bloody rightly rubbished that terrible cheap show dreamt up by Noel Edmonds last week. But this is what I've been waiting for.
Why?
Ruddy bloody loved it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It's got all the magic of Catchphrase, which is one of the greatest shows ever.
Without missing
and
chips.
Do you know what I took from Kay last week? When she said, Steph, if we were watching this bloody cheap together, we'd be playing the game. And I thought, no, we wouldn't, because it's shit. But I tell you what, this is a game you can play with your family on a Saturday night and see if you can get the rhyme quicker than your old relative or whatever. I loved it. I thought it was so fun. I love Len Goodman. I was very concerned that all he had left in life was those farm foods ads, but he's come up trumps.
Although, do you know what? This is interesting because last week, I mean, admittedly, not a lot of people like Noel Edmonds, but you've had a problem with Noel Edmonds fake laughing at jokes and just hamming it up. And I feel Len, who I love because I love Strictly and Len and everyone on it, he does exactly the same thing. So I was wondering how you were going to react to this. I thought you were going to go off the deep end.
I've reacted well to this because Len has been a constant in my life. And as I've told you, Noel needs to be rested, okay? No, loved it. I thought, yeah, I played along. I thought it was really funny.
I thought it was too easy.
I also find it funny when I think things are easy and people get it wrong because I think like that's hilarious.
It started off easy. So the first round, which is the kind of basic, is very much like Catchphrase, where they're actually shown rhyming visuals on screen.
Yeah.
And they have to guess what they are.
Lo-fi.
It's like that, isn't it? It gets slightly more harder as it goes on, doesn't it?
I mean, maybe it's just because I'm exceptionally good at games and I don't want to brag.
You are good at games.
Yeah, I'm
genius.
Literally, it's my only skill in life. So I didn't find it that hard, but I didn't like it as much as Cheap, Cheap, Cheap.
What did you think of Len Goodman?
I think he's good in that role because he's got the cheeky, you know, Cockney geezer, you know, charm to him and stuff. There were a few points where I was cringing for him, but I think he handles it quite well. Who I found very cringy was Anton Dubek.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Tony Beak.
Yeah. I love Anton.
I love him too, but I mean...
Do you love anything to do with Strictly? I mean, I knew Kay was obsessed with Strictly. Do you love anything to do with Strictly as well?
Look, I am a huge Strictly fan, but yeah. I think this is a genius concept.
Really?
I do. I think it's a great thing to play with everyone at home.
Let me say right now, I think it's a good concept. I really like the idea of it. I cannot be standing watching Len Goodman trying to host a primetime game show, I'm afraid. It was painful. I thought it was so difficult to watch him. And my question is, here's my question about the Len Goodman phenomenon. He's retired from being head judge on Strictly. For what reason? He's now placed himself in the position of doing this show, which he's completely wrong for.
Yes.
He's even more physical exertions than on Strictly, just to sit behind a desk. And this is out there doing rap dancing with one of the contestants.
I mean, I did enjoy him doing street dancing.
And like running around and I just thought, why has he given up the biggest show on TV to do this thing? It's weird. I didn't understand the logic of why he has retired from that show, which he was brilliant in. I love him in Strictly.
He'd been doing it too long. He wanted to change.
I just felt he was awkward. I just thought he was uncomfortable. He was grinning like a maniac.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing that at first. I think he warmed up. I think he warmed up. Because I felt the same. And
I love him. But I can't. I loved him saying Seven and all this, but... On this.
God, do it with more gusto, Seven.
Honestly,
listen, you two.
I can't face it.
My head is in my hands. Because last week, the absolute pile of crap, Cheap, 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 you were both raving about.
Cheap, Cheap, Cheap.
This is so much better than that show.
Imagine this, but this could have been great, and it would have been great if it had just a proper professional, funny TV presenter hosting it. I was sat there watching, I'm thinking, Matt Edmondson should be hosting this, you know, or even Matt Richardson, who's funny in it. Len is not funny, and he's trying to be funny, and it's painful.
Hold on a minute. Len Goodman does the Farm Fresh Foods adverts.
Were they funny? Good luck to him.
No, but they're informative.
He's a lovely guy, but he's a judge on it. He's a dancing expert.
I think it's a little bit beneath him.
It's weird. It's just weird
you
that
think
they thought...
You think it's beneath him?
I think it's beneath him.
I think a little bit. The tomfoolery has to do. I'm just like, Len...
He's doing it. I tell you what it feels like is they couldn't get Bruce Forsyth, so they've got Len trying to be Bruce Forsyth, and it's just weird. It's really odd. It's like it makes it feel so old-fashioned. And if it had,
but it's quite an old-fashioned thing, isn't it? It's old-fashioned entertainment.
But Stephen Mulhern does the new thingy, doesn't it? Catchphrase, and does it perfectly well. It needed someone like that, just someone young and fresh and funny.
Because Len is old, he should be doing this. Let's just be clear on this.
All right. That's ageist. I take that back.
Right.
Ageist.
Because of how old he is. It's his tone and it's his delivery and it's his manner.
All right, I've got a question.
He hasn't got comic timing.
I've got a question. No. If the presenter was Noel Edmonds, what would you think of this show?
I think Noel would handle it better.
That's our friendship over.
Okay, I can't go there again.
I'm going to have to leave. Our friendship over.
But this is me, and I actually said in last week's show, I believe that I find Noel generally excruciating, but even he would have been more watchable.
Oh my God, I've got a question.
Go on.
How many stars would you give it?
I think 2.5.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I can't face
even
watching.
I'm giving it 3.
I cannot face watching Len trying to host this show.
I'm giving it 3 stars. Steph, what are you giving
it? One of the answers was Mel and Sue cleaning the loo.
Oh, Mel or Sue would have done brilliantly. Thanks for reminding me of that.
Yeah. Steph, stars. How many stars?
I think this is a great family show. 4 stars.
Okay, she's on.
Len Goodman's Partners in Crime is on BBC One on Saturday, 19th of August at 6:45 p.m. and will be for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Not buried like that that stupid Noel Edmonds program.
Okay, let's just see who gets more in the ratings. Let's see.
Well, that's a ridiculous comparison because
I was trying to help you out there, but
Noel Edmonds Cheap 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 is on in the middle of the day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This is a primetime Saturday night show at 6:45. doesn't get more prime time.
Okay, that's what happens when you try and help him out.
Dude,
okay,
I'm that's what happens. I was thinking I should have let given, hung him out to dry.
Trying to have his back.
Yeah.
No. I'm just saying you can't.
No.
More of a comparison.
Whatever.
Will be between Cheap, which is still on. We'll still be running for the next few weeks at 3 o'clock on Channel 4, and it's now going to be joined. Its new daytime stablemate is Street Mate.
Oh, do you know what? You've turned that into a fantastic segue.
Thanks.
Well,
which
done.
Is going to run every day from next Monday, the 21st of August, on Channel 4 at 5:30 p.m. I don't know why Kay's like, I forgot my leg. These are all factually true, Kay.
I know. Sorry.
So Street Mate originally was a prime time thing, obviously hosted by Davina, in which she ran around trying to find possible dates for real members of the public. And now that role has been taken over by Scarlett Moffat
of Gogglebox
of the
fame.
Goggly Box.
Of Gogglebox fame. And that's it, really. It's just kind of revived the old format.
Has not changed,
no.
Even though dating has changed.
Yes. Oh, I feel you a theory coming up.
Well, no. Well, look, we're in the world of Tinder, aren't we, and Bumble and all of those things that you can do to find a friend.
A special
find
friend.
A friend. Find there a should special. Be a, is there an app called Find a Friend?
No, but the Bumble one, isn't the Bumble one where you go, you can, you know, it's not just for sexing. It's for,
I don't know, Bumble isn't for friends.
Oh, is it not? What's the one that's just for
friends? With Ben's, maybe.
Like, is it?
Well, I mean, you just want to meet, I don't imagine a lot of people are going, oh, I'm going to go on this dating app to meet a friend.
But do you want to just find a new friend?
Well, I think you just got to socialise and go to, I don't know, a cafe and stuff.
Anywho, okay, right, so yeah. I thought she was. I'm just going to go straight
into
it.
The people on
her.
The ground want to find a friend. Like, if you want to, like, you know.
Pogs, you've got us.
Kay's
don't worry about
is
it.
Go and socialise to the people on the ground. To go and have group meetings about this podcast, maybe. They can but find a friend.
Start appreciation societies.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
but dating has changed, hasn't it? And my only slight issue with this format not changing at all is that, you know, we've become increasingly insular in trying to find people. And also, I always thought it was a little bit weird shouting at people on the street. Because if you're looking for somebody, you don't go, oi! You,
ooh.
With the sexy legs.
It's a challenge.
Come over here, love.
Challenge for John, the engineer,
all
to
on
get,
a date.
Deal with the volume of that. The volume of that shout there.
Sorry, everybody. You
be
don't
fine.
Say.
Fine, I'm sure.
But you don't say, oi, you're looking good. Come on, let's go for a pint. Do you?
I actually really like that way of doing it.
Okay, come on.
I would actually like it if someone did that. I think it's just like.
But also, that's the whole point of the show, isn't it? It's not real life. It's a format of a.
But they are real. But they are real people looking for dates, aren't they? They are real people looking for love.
They're not robots. They're pogs.
I guess the key question is, considering the format is exactly the same as it was back in the day when Davina hosted it, and it's Scarlett Moffat. What do we think of her?
Yeah, and mate, I have to
I
say,
think she's brilliant.
She is. Got the charisma, she has got the charm. This show is, if you love Scarlett Moffat, if you love John Gogglebox, you will love this show because it's all about her.
She's bubbly,
and
excitable.
And the funny things that she says, I think, is, I mean, also I do find it hilarious what modern day young 20-something potential daters think about themselves because I wrote...
this is the joy of it.
Yeah. One of them said... The thing is, I'm just hilarious. People around me just tend to laugh all the time.
Was that Austin?
That guy, yeah.
Right, so there's a 29-year-old boy called Austin who's on the first episode. He's a personal trainer.
And isn't he, is it my imagination, or isn't he a bit lightly Amby George, your husband?
Okay, right. This, if you listen to the podcast all the time, we don't constantly talk about my husband. But yeah, he is a bit like that.
He thinks, right, this guy, I'm not saying he's like your husband, he thinks he's very funny and he's into sport.
He's yes, personal trainer.
Oh, tick, tick. No, he's a physiotherapist. Liam's a physiotherapist.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He goes on a date with this girl called Jenny, right? And this is my idea of a hell date because they have feet massages. Now, anyone who exposes their feet on a date should be immediately struck off.
That's
no. Ugly part of the body. No one needs to see them, right? And then...
Okay, so anti-feet stall.
And then he starts having this conversation with her, like angling for her to ask him his best joke.
And she does.
Yeah, and it's not funny. And then he spends...
Are you
going to
tell the joke, Kate? It's a knock-knock joke.
All right, Boyd, you can do it then.
No, I can't remember it. Come on.
All right. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Europe.
Europe who?
Europe who? No, Steph. No.
Sorry.
No.
That is quite funny.
All right, you've broken up in hysterics.
That is quite... All right.
Did you laugh this much when you watched
you
it?
What? Half I was laughing at that and half I was laughing because I realised that I've watched a completely different episode to you two. I think I've watched episode 2.
This is good. This is useful. This is good because just the explanation is that There were two episodes to watch of Street Mate on the service that we used to watch, preview service, yeah, online. And Kay had to find out from the publicist of the show which one was the first episode, which one was the second. And
right,
we found out, and I checked with her as I was watching it.
I made no such checks.
But it was called episode one, which isn't episode one.
Okay, so I watched the one that said episode one, which isn't episode one.
So what we're talking about...
That's a much of a muchness, because when the Pogs watch it, they're going to be watching the right episode. Anyway, did you find that joke funny? Because he thought it was hilarious.
But the funny thing is, when we were talking about the bloke being like your husband, you think we were mad?
A little bit, but then that's... I think that anyway. So.
So there's another guy who's like your husband in episode two.
Yeah, there is, but then he doesn't go on the date. Okay. Anyway, that's who I thought we were talking about. Anyway, sorry, Kay, carry on.
No, I was just going to say about that day, it was like excruciating to watch for that reason, that he thought he was really funny. And the worst thing, like, some things should just never be faked. And laughter is one of them.
At one point in the episode you haven't watched, Steph,
right,
he says to that this doofus, Austin, says to this poor woman, he says, "Why didn't you laugh at my joke?"
He questions her, and
she kind of says, "Well, it wasn't very funny." And it is. Borderline excruciating,
having
but
said
entertaining.
That, having said that, the next couple that is on the show is a girl called Sarah from Wales, and she loves fossils, and she's got a psychology degree, and she's really sweet. And
Sarah from Wales, and she loves fossils.
No, she goes on about it.
I know.
And I'm telling you because Harrison, the total beefcake she ends up going on a date with, likes animals, loves reptiles, is completely right up her street. And it was a really cute date. Did you see it?
I did see it. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. And he was funny because he had a whole... He took us into his home and he goes, "I'm a big reader. I've got loads of books. They're all books about dinosaurs." It was funny. It was sweet.
I have to say, I thought he was very lovely, Harrison.
Yeah, he was very likable, yeah.
Can I talk about someone in the episode that
the
I watched?
Episode you were.
Because
I mean,
not a spoiler.
This is fine because the whole thing is on. It's a Monday to Friday, daytime tree anyway. So it's not like we have to focus completely on the one episode that two of us watched.
In the episode that I watched, one of the guys that she goes on a date with, he basically fancies himself as a bit of an impressionist, and he's like, "I think it's going really well. Oh no, I'm going to break out the impressions." His impressions are of Michael Caine. Jim Carrey.
Is it Peter Serafinowicz?
Oh my God, it's honestly, it's so cringy. And then they cut to her just going, "I mean, the impressions were a real low point."
I mean, to be fair, this sounds like the first date on the first episode.
It's awful. I mean, for me, it's got everything. It's got cringe factor, hilarious cringe factor. Scarlett, who I just think is a winner, and this show is perfect for her.
I think also the dates are exciting. I got excited watching them.
Yeah, no.
My only complaint was that what they actually do is after the date, then 3 or 4 weeks later, they do a checkup on like of these couples are still together, and obviously, inevitably, they fizzled out, right?
Of course.
My complaint about it is they did a Skype one. Scarlett Skyped Sarah in Wales, and the screen of the computer was filthy.
I mean, that's a very specific complaint.
Listen, it was like 100 people had put their paws on that screen.
Whose screen? Scarlett's screen?
Yeah, they should clean that screen.
That's a bit of a Steph complaint, though.
It's a whittle.
Steph was annoyed about Ricky Whittle, the star of American Gods, taking his top off and playing football in LA.
All right, I'm going to tweet a picture. You decide if you think that screen's clean enough.
She didn't like him. Unclean screen, yeah, it's a fair point. Go on.
Can I just say one other thing that I found that we didn't have in Davina's day?
Oh, yeah.
The other slight problem with filming on the street nowadays is because all those people have got camera phones.
The people on the ground.
And so what you're seeing all the time is people trying to take photos of Scarlett in the background. Did you see that
in
the first episode?
Yes, I did, yeah. And they're excited to see it. Yeah,
I mean, I'd be excited to see it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And we love Scarlett. She's a friend of Heat.
FOH.
Mm. Yeah, an FOH.
Friend of Heat. I thought she was very good, yeah. I enjoyed it. I think for me the most interesting thing as a TV obsessive about, you know, scheduling and stuff, that it is a daytime, they've put it in this daytime slot in the kind of, like almost like the countdown slot, 5:30. It feels like slightly wasted that...
Yeah, I think
say,
it's 6.
Well, I was going to say, you know, why it's not 8? Because like Channel 4, it's not like they've overflown with entertainment formats. You know,
ooh,
in fact, yeah, I mean, as far as I'm aware, Channel 4 hasn't... I've got hardly any entertainment shows. I'm saying, you know, like, not like...
Haven't they got Cheap Cheap?
Ugh. That's, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Another,
question.
Yeah, wait, that should be on at 9 o'clock every night.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Oh, my... What time's Hollyoaks on?
6. There you go.
Get rid.
No idea.
Street Mate on.
I just think this should be an 8 o'clock... This is an 8 o'clock show for me. I don't know why they're... I think they're kind of wasting it at 5:30.
Yeah. Who do we know at Channel 4 we can call?
Well, they'll all be listening, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoyed it, and I thought it was... a very entertaining half hour. So I'm not sure if the Ultra Street Mate was half an hour, but anyway, this feels very very focused and fun and breezy and entertaining
to watch. She's such a natural. She's fantastic.
She is, yeah. Much more natural. I can, you know, Scarlett doing this is great casting, unlike Leg Goodman doing.
I feel it's such an obvious comparison.
Like, you know, she's been perfectly chosen.
Or Noel Edmonds being back on screen.
Right,
it's really difficult, isn't it?
One of the two, yeah. So I'm going to give solid 4 stars to the revival of Street Mate, starting on Channel 4 Monday, 21st of August, 5:30 p.m. Kay?
I'm going to second that with 4 stars. I think it's the best of all the dating shows out there.
Hold on.
Yeah, I do.
Naked Attraction.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Along with Naked Attraction. But Blind Date's better than Take Me Out.
I won't have that. Whoa. No.
Whoa, do you think it is?
No.
You like Take Me Out?
He likes Take Me Out.
No, I don't hate Take Me Out.
No lighty, no likey?
I don't mind Take Me Out. But Naked Attraction is the best one for me.
It's good, Naked Attraction.
Three and a half stars.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I'd probably give it 3.5, actually. You're right. Got carried away. You've converted me. So that's Street Mate back on Channel 4 soon. And because we've done so many programs focused on the presenters, Len Goodman, Noel Edmonds, Scarlett Moffat, it's time for question time.
Right, are you going to do it properly this time?
I will, if you do it
properly.
Okay,
because you were very limp last week. Okay.
It was the Noel Edmonds spat.
Here we go. Question time.
So the question is, who is your favourite TV presenter? Kay.
Ooh, okay. I wasn't expecting you coming to me first. I'm going to say...
Just how I roll.
David Attenborough.
Ooh.
Oh!
The original, the best. He is an absolute king amongst men.
Yeah, it's not controversial. Selection. I don't ever aim
to be controversial, boys. I merely aim to answer the question, my angel.
Unlike Steph, who is a troublemaker.
Yes. Come on. Come on, troublemaker.
No, this is not going to be controversial, I don't think.
Noel Edmonds. Paul O'Dannan.
Grady. Oh, hate Paul O'Dannan. Yes, sorry. Venom. Venom there. I do. He's been so nasty in Celebrity Big Brother, if you're watching that. Oh, he's vicious. Anyway, Paul O'Grady, who is never vicious and always hilariously funny. That is not just the reason, but it's the main reason.
For the love of dogs.
Oh, God, I just love that show. You know, last week you were saying, what do you watch that makes you kind of happy that you can watch? And you said, yeah. Would I lie to you? Yeah. I could watch hours and hours of Paul O'Grady for the love of dogs. He is wonderful. I love him.
They should put it on DVD. You know that Channel 4 Vet program?
Oh, Super Vet.
Super Vet.
You know, Fitzpatrick. Oh,
I've got a pile of DVDs of that. They're putting that on DVD.
Do you know
I was astonished.
I really want to meet Noel Fitzpatrick.
Do you have a crush on him?
We can have like the eight DVD box set.
I'll have that.
Yeah, you have that. Those are so even. What about even his revival of Blind Date that he's a bit uncomfortable in?
Yeah, no, I like that. When we reviewed that, I liked it. Okay. But as I said, I'm still waiting for us to pitch the idea of Paul. As I said, I think he should have done it with dogs.
Yeah.
At the time,
blind dog
owners.
Yeah.
Dog blind dogs.
Blind dogs. Not blind dogs. Blind dogs. Although blind dogs need to be loved too.
That's more.
Not blind dogs.
Yeah. That's more. Teach your pet to do that, isn't it? Yeah.
Which is also a great show.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I'm going for. I've decided to block out. I was thinking of like Great American Chat Show hosts.
Of course you were.
David Letterman. No, I'm not. I'm going for some proper British TV presenter, Mel and Sue.
That's two.
I listened to you on her show.
Did you?
Yes.
Isn't she brilliant? She's so great.
She is fantastic.
I love Perkins. She did that. I was on Radio 2 with her on last Sunday. She's probably still on the Radio iPlayer listeners.
Stop directing people elsewhere. I mean, they're here. You're here now, so that's what counts.
They're going to stop immediately and go and listen to
No, they should listen to this again.
There's mere seconds left.
But she was brilliant, and she had no script. She just ripped the whole thing off the top of her head. Like, she was brilliant. And so, yeah. Okay, I'm going to narrow it down to Sue, but even though I love Mel as well.
Narrow it down to Sue. Out of who?
Out of
Mel and Sue.
And the rest of the world of TV presenters.
Out of Mel and Sue, you narrow it down to Sue. Okay.
I said you had to choose one.
Can you even believe they've beaten Anton Deck as well?
Yeah, I can.
Because they're just too obvious. Anyway. Yeah.
God, well done for sticking with us if you have. And if you
How long have we been going on for?
14 hours?
6 hours. 6 hours.
And 32
seconds.
We'll be back next week.
But hold on, because if they want to get in touch with us, boys.
Oh, if you want to get coffee, I've got a sudden cough. If you want to get in touch with us, at Boyd Hilton on the Twitter, at K Ribeiro, EIRO.
Thank you.
And at Steph Seelan, PH Seelan.
S-E-E-L-A-N. And if you've got to the end of this and you think, oh, this is the greatest show ever, and you feel like giving us a star rating, hey,
if you want us to help Boyd out choking here, you've got to vote. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. I'm going to let him choke to death right now.
Rate and review us on iTunes. Yeah, thanks. Okay. Thanks. Right. Bye.
Bye.